Hey, Mikey, Rory here from over in Perth. Hope you're going okay in this this unusual time of pandemic exile. Look, I just came back from a run and I listened to your podcast, which is very stimulating. And as you know, we're old friends. We talk about this stuff a fair bit. And I've read your manuscript and I think it's fantastic. And I think any whichever publisher nabs it first will have a license to print money. It's going to be huge. It's going to make John Grisham look like an also-ran on the bestseller list. It's a fantastic book, and I think you persuaded me on your ecclesiology. That is, I think I'm with you saying that the Knox Robinson insights are very significant, that the word ecclesia always or almost always refers to an actual gathering, that it could be translated assembly, and that would bring out meanings, especially in non-religious context, such as in the riot in the Book of Acts, where the rioters are described as a church, that is, that they are assembled. All those insights are fantastic, and as you know, I've fed off both Knox and Robinson's thought, especially Robinson. Might not entirely agree with you that Robinson changed his tune. I think the Knox Robinson corpus is so sketchy, as you say, it's all in these kind of academic articles, and often academic articles or academic-ish articles that appeared in more popular church papers rather than first-tier peer-reviewed journals, which is a testimony to the power of the thought that it's this kind of fragmentary teaching that we've gathered together from tape libraries and jottings here and sermons there, and we've constructed this view of church. But I think the analogy with Knox Robinson, it's a bit like, you'll sometimes hear John Dixon say in his work on church ancient history that we probably only have 1%. You know, we're trying to reconstruct with 1% of the documentary evidence. So it's always easy. You can prove a positive. We know who was the governor of Judea, but it's very hard to prove a negative from ancient history, because we just don't have the data. I think the Robinson view of church is a little bit like that, that we know positively what he affirmed, but when he became Archbishop of Sydney, I think we discovered more of what was actually there right through the 50s and 60s and so on. I'm going to get to the theology, another point of historical interest. When the phrase Knox Robinson was originally coined, I think the earliest... Certainly the earliest coinage I've discovered was in an essay by Robert Doyle, where it's called the Robinson-Knox view of church, or it might have been the Graham Cole article, but it's called the Robinson-Knox view of church, which I think reflects a historical truth that it was actually Robinson. So Knox wrote an article on church in the 50s that was unrecognisable, a much more traditional take of the faithful remnant and this church within the church, using the Old Testament idea of the remnant to leverage against the faithful flock within the wider Anglican church, which was obviously a mixed and is a mixed communion theologically. Anyway, it's Robinson who comes in later, and I think in 1959 puts forth almost all the main tenets of the Knox Robinson view of church. And then Knox follows afterwards and develops that up into his very energetic, stimulating, systematic, theological, and creative frame of mind. But anyway, that's just a historical point of interest, that it was originally called the Robinson-Knox view of church. And then Robinson got on board and took it off in some really interesting directions. The other thing I wanted to pick up on your thinking, so I think that's right. We're thinking in the time of the COVID-19 and lots of churches moving to online. I think I'm with you that a constitutive element of something being a church is its leadership, and that leadership is recognisable. Your use of Matthew 18 is very powerful in that regard. And I think there's a couple of analogies there, like a town council, which is literally called an assembly in the ancient literature, the literature contemporary to the New Testament. The town council meets as assembly, but of course the town council does other things. The town council, it's entirely appropriate to say the town council that is constituted by its assembly also sends out people onto the roads who are fixing the roads, who are doing the work of the town council. I think that's perfectly adequate. Or the when you meet with the elders for church discipline or whatever, you're meeting with the church, as in a formally constituted assembly of which they are the formally recognized leaders. So I think your definition is a very fruitful one, a formally recognized group of Christians who community of Christians who do assemble, who do church. I think that's true. The one thing I want to add to your theological reflections is in this context is a theological account of bodies and what it means to be present. So here's the thinking. In the Bible, and contrary to many people's expectations, I scandalized a whole year 11 class a few weeks ago with this. Contrary to many people's expectations, the Bible sees humans as irreducibly bodies. So we're not spirits trapped in bodies. We're not encased in a meat suit. And the Christian hope is not that we escape our meat suits and finally be with God as spirits. On the contrary, Jesus Christ is raised in his body, and the resurrection hope is that we will be raised in our bodies. And so you see in the Old and New Testament, humans don't have bodies. We are bodies. Essential to what it is to be human is to not have a body, but to be a body. And so that means that when, so for example, in the eschatological hope, when we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. That's Paul's language in the book of Philippians. If he's at home in the body, he's away from the Lord. But when he's at home with the Lord, he's away from the body, which means he's not present with the Philippians. He can't, to be present in spirit in the Bible is always subpar. Because Jesus is present with us by his spirit, but our hope, we haven't arrived, because the eschatological hope is that we will be with him in body in a new heaven and a new earth. So you get this intuition through the New Testament that even something like such as to write a letter is to be less present with someone than to be physically present, which I think is just an intuitive truth of our creatureliness. So in I think 3 John, he says, I would love to write more to you with pen and ink, but I want to save it till I get to be with you physically. Paul has similar words in the books of Corinthians, where his physical presence is weighted more highly than his presence in writing. And so the whole New Testament, curiously enough, comes to us in many ways as a from pastors who would prefer to have done their work face to face in embodied ministry, but instead had to write because circumstances made it impossible to be with them otherwise. So here's the point I'm trying to make. I think what we're doing as we gather online, as we leverage technology and so on, is church, and we follow a biblical tradition and even a Reformation tradition. So some of the arguments I've seen applied against online church could similarly be applied against the Reformation, that the use of the printing press, Gutenberg's printing press, did radically undermine local congregations and local authority. And you could imagine an argument, although you wouldn't do it if you're a Reformed person, but you can imagine an argument saying Luther really ought not to have used the printing press because he dislodged people from their local circumstances and their local leadership. Anyway, I think during the time where the church is in this sort of exile, where we can't gather, I agree with you that because of your definition of church, it doesn't mean we cease to be church or can't do the functions of church. We absolutely can. But my short answer is I hope that we miss being able to do embodied gathering, because I think that we are together online in a sense, and in a sense that is not fully adequate, because our hope is to be together with each other in bodies in the new creation, and we anticipate that in our gathering in bodies, to be present with each other in a way that we're not present with each other or fully present with each other or satisfactorily present with each other when we're disembodied, such as our online life together. So they're my thoughts. I think a theology of the body would help us, and I think we should do it. Well, I think it's a, the response we've taken and lots of people have. I think this is a good way to do church in the meantime. I don't think we need to worry about, oh, what if people get used to online and they just want to do church in their pajamas and so on. Let's make church not that fun online. Use some sketchy technology or downgrade it a bit so it's not that good. I think that's a silly thought because I think both by our creaturely design and by our theological convictions, when it's time to get together again, we'll want to do it. And if we don't want to do it, our problems are bigger problems than can be solved by technology because we ought to want to be together. And if we don't, we've got some other work to do. They're my thoughts. Thanks very much for your thoughts. It's a very stimulating thing to listen to on the run. Grace and peace to you and to yours. Bye.